Welcome back to Infinite Ultra. This is your DM, Aaron Shindahedi. Join me in Prima, land of the hero, home of the strange. And now, to the recap.
Hello! How are things going out there in, like, the world and stuff?
Hello, Mr. Weird.
Hi!
It's been a very confusing few days, I guess, but we are on yet another mission to find this rug. And I have to tell you the truth, I'm kind of sick of this rug. But we found out that it could possibly be a portal to the gate or used in some sort of way. So I'm interested in the rug now that it has some value. There are very strange people I'm with. I'm not sure about them yet. But I appreciate that they're around, that's for sure. We went to drop the rug off yet again and met a man who told us about the rug at last. And they just want to throw garbage through the portal, and I can't let that happen. So,
yeah, it just seems rude.
It is rude. It's very odd, but I don't know. People have their own agendas, I guess. So we're going to go try to find this rug yet again. And I believe Nova saw some cats take the rug. I'm not sure about that yet either, but I guess that's where we're going to go.
Cats. Nature's rug thieves.
I don't know. It's very strange.
All right. Well, that's
a very strange few days.
Definitely some weird shit, but seems right on cue with what we're doing. So great. thanks for updating me. I'll let you get back and click.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye. Oh my God.
Basically, yeah, you guys have kind of finished your quest, I guess you could say. There are certainly, you know, questions to be answered. If you guys want to investigate stuff, you're more than you certainly can. I don't know what I was trying to say. Words,
you're
English.
More than welcome
to. There you go. Apparently, I just forget at least one word every episode and just quit. You're more than welcome to, but I'll leave that open to you guys. So we're gonna just kind of do individual stuff here real quick. You guys also will be leveling up after this bit.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Get you guys level up four times, motherfucker.
Oh.
Okay, we get to choose that.
That's how it works, right? Yeah, we just roll dice, and that's how many times
level
you level up.
10 levels. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, roll a d20, and that's how many levels you get.
Sweet.
I like this game.
No.
17 levels.
That's terrible. Okay. Damn. I should probably rethink how this works. I think that we're going to start with Veronica. I'm curious what Veronica does on a day where she's not hunting down rugs and punching rats and, trying to strangle people with plants. Well, maybe strangling people with plants is what she does on a normal day, but, you know.
No. That's fun. I haven't thought of this a lot.
she said that's fun, but I don't
Yeah, I know it's kind
somehow.
Of sudden, so. the tear streaming on your face say a different story.
No, So, because she doesn't really have a job, because she just kind of lives off of her family's money.
Nice.
Because her family kind of is in the pharmacological business.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's kind of like a trust fund kid, and she's just doing this because she's bored. So she doesn't do just like a ton of stuff. She has like a whole lot of plants, and she takes care of those in her apartment. Like, she has one of those apartments that's like, she has access to the roof, so she has like a greenhouse up there. And she just like grows a bunch of stuff.
I'm incredibly jealous right now, by the way.
Wait, you Justin or
yeah, Justin got a
Justin,
boner.
Justin is jealous. Yeah.
No, the boner's real. No.
Yeah, I heard it.
So
thump.
Weird.
I didn't think my microphone would pick that up.
Why do you have a microphone under the desk, Justin?
Scott, my microphone has trimmer sense.
Nice.
Gross. Yeah. So she also just kind of like will sometimes go to her family's business offices and hang out there, and like because they're trying to teach her the family business, but she doesn't really want to.
Does she do like the green hair thing where she just kind of looks busy and just ends up watering the plants all day?
Yes.
Okay. I'm down with that. Okay. So yeah, so we can say that, you know, you're kind of bouncing around doing your trust fund kid thing, which I kind of assumed that was the case, that you were just kind of like mooching off your parents for the most part. Even though I don't think that we've ever explicitly talked about it, so that's kind of nice. So we'll say that, you know, you spent, you know, a good chunk of your morning kind of tinkering around with your plants and, you know, talking to them and watering them and doing the whole greenhouse bit. And they're all looking really nice and healthy. And you leave your apartment to go to your parents' office. What do they do?
That's what I was just out of curiosity. Like, pharmacologically, like, what do they specialize
pharmacological
in?
Stuff. Well, yeah. Because, like, that's like the whole thing, right? Like, her... No, because it's like, that's the whole thing, right? Her family line was the Rappaccini's daughter thing, and they all have affinities for plants. So they just kind of find different medicinal uses for plants and poisons and things. And that's what they've built their business on.
So it's big pharma. Got it.
It's big pharma.
It's like, it's
much.
Little pharma. It's plant pharma.
Oh, plant pharma.
But they've made a good amount of money off of it. So
yeah.
In my head, I'm thinking big pharma, but pharma is spelt with an F, not a PH.
Well, yeah, like literally farm.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually the name of the company is Pharma.
Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. So they're like figuring out the newest version of aspirin and like trying to cure things with plants. Okay, cool. That makes sense. It's not just like selling plants to people. It's like actually
No. It's not like
stuff.
They have like a farm. Mm-hmm. It's pharma. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So you are kind of making your way to your parents' offices. Just kind of walking down the street because you don't live too terribly far away.
And
you just
bike.
Kind of, it works better if you're walking. Shh. I mean, no, you know what? You can be riding a bike. It's fine. Okay. It'll just be more fun. So you are riding a bike down the street, heading to your parents' offices to do some fake work to earn an absurd amount of money that you don't really need or want. You are like just kind of enjoying the day, you know, looking around, watching all the people as they go by and just kind of doing your little pedal. And all of a sudden a kind of object just kind of flutters into your vision. And then the next thing you know, it is plastered against your face, covering your eyes for just the right amount of time for you to not notice. A hot dog cart starting to pull around the corner, and you slam into this hot dog cart and flip off and like just go crashing into the dirt and or sidewalk, because this is a town and you're not like on a fucking farm.
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you just absolutely beef it. Are you sure you don't want to walk? See?
I already made my decision. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'll take the consequences.
Yeah, I will live with the consequences. So you absolutely beef it over this hot dog cart, and the hot dog cart doesn't even stop. They just keep on going. They're like, you want a hot dog? Nope. Okay. And keep walking along and just kind of push your bike off of their cart and just keep going. And
I'm like, okay, thanks for the help.
Yeah, no problem. You didn't buy a hot dog, fuck off. So you're kind of like laying on the ground, kind of recovering, and you hear kind of feet come jogging up, attached to a body, but still jogging up. And you hear just kind of a breathless voice, just like, oh my God, are you okay? I kind of feel like that's my fault a little bit. I'm so sorry. And above you, when you kind of move this object off of your face, which seems to be some kind of like card, like a playing card or something, but like a big one, and you kind of push it off of your face, and you see above you a young blonde woman with like blonde, like truly like 90s bleach blonde, like almost white, and it goes all the way down to her knees. It's incredibly long. She's wearing this like really pretty like sundress kind of situation with just like a real simple leather jacket over it. So kind of looks like a nice version of a street kid, you know, like really comfortable, like walking around clothes. Freeport's a pretty warm place, so you don't want to like get too layered up. I'm getting on a tangent, but this very, very pretty blonde girl standing over, and she says, "Oh my God, are you okay?" And she holds out a hand to help you up.
I'm gonna take her hand. I'm like, "Yeah, I guess so. This thing like flew in my face, and I guess I still have it in my hand."
Yeah, yeah. She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It got away from me. I'm going to a reading, and you know, sometimes these tarot cards are just so big, and it just kind of." And I just kind of, the wind caught it and it just flew off. I'm so sorry. Are you like, are you sure you're okay? And she like starts kind of patting you down a little bit, like making sure you're not like bleeding. I don't like feeling for soft spots or something. Like, I don't know. She's just like, oh my God.
I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. Thank you. No, I'm fine.
Yeah. She seems really distressed. Yeah. And, she looks at your arms and she sees like the tattoos of the vines and everything. She says, oh my God, these are so pretty. What is it? Poppy and what is this? Aloe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And these are just vines. I don't know what kind they are yet. But yes. That's a poppy and that's an aloe. Yes.
Wow. These are,
you know, your plants.
Really beautiful. Yeah. I like plants. They're you know, they're really pretty and they can really do a lot of good. And
you can.
Yeah. And she looks over and you guys are standing next to like kind of. Someone's like a not necessarily windowsill planter kind of thing, but it's like against a fence, so it's kind of a bigger version of that. And she like looks over and she says, "Yeah, yeah." And you know, I just feel so at home when there's greenery around. It's just really, it's really nice. And she kind of like pets the plant, sort of, not like in a weird way, but like, you know, just like checking the leaves and that kind of thing. Like she kind of gets lost in like this plant real quick, and then turns back and she says, "I'm so sorry. I'm Ilya. Nice to meet you." And she holds out a hand.
Yeah, I'm Veronica. Nice to meet you. Here's your card back.
Oh. Thank you. And she looks down at the card and she kind of laughs to herself a little bit and she looks back and she says, "You know, maybe you should keep this one." And she hands it back to you. And you look down and you see that it's the Fate card. And she kind of laughs a little bit. She says, "I mean, sometimes you just, you know, it's just like a chance meeting on the street. And you never know." And she seems to like get kind of flustered. And she like picks a flower off of this plant that she's been standing next to you. And just kind of like really quickly like kind of puts it in your hair. And looks at you and she says, "Well, it was really nice meeting you. I'm really sorry. I hope I get to see you again. I gotta go do this reading though. So, I guess, bye." And she kind of starts like trotting off.
And I'm like, "You don't need your card back?"
"It's okay. I got more."
Okay. No. Weird. And so I just take it. I'm like, okay. And I put it in the little basket on my bike after I pick it up. And I guess I'm just like, gonna head back the way I was going.
Okay.
Check your bike and make sure it's okay.
Well, that's part of me picking it up off the ground. Yes, I checked my bike.
The bike actually has a broken tibia. You need to take it to the hospital. It's really it's crying. You're not even paying attention to your own bike. What are you doing?
I'm horrible with metal things, but plants are, I'm like perfect with, but you've machines,
done a full 180. Cool.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go to your parents' building, you know, and you're kind of going about your business and you just kind of don't really think anything of it in general. You're just kind of like, oh, just, I don't know. I hit a hot dog vendor and then, I don't know, there was some weird girl. And you're going through your day and plotting plants and I guess occasionally making a copy of some sheet of paper if someone like corners you and like really forces you to do it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you just kind of hang out and water plants all day. You know, your parents buy you dinner and it's really great, and you just kind of, it's like a steak dinner. It's fine. It's just steak. Super cool. It's whatever.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Cool.
And you head home and you realize that flower has stuck in your hair the entire day. It hasn't flown out. And it's still like alive and kicking. It hasn't wilted at all. And you kind of look at it in the mirror when you're kind of getting ready for bed, and you're like, huh, that's weird. And then you just kind of move on with your life.
I like to think that I put it in a little jar of water.
Okay, cool. So you put the plant in a jar of water. Mason jar?
Yes.
Yes, okay, of course.
Sure, why not? Whatever will fit this random flower, yes.
Yeah, it's a very pretty flower. And so as you're kind of like putting it in this little mason jar of water, you realize that it is a very specific kind of plant. I don't really have a good name. I don't know like Latin or anything, so I can't like just make up a plant name off the top of my head. But it looks kind of like an iris. It's kind of got that like really wide open flower to it. And you know that this plant, what am I trying to think of? Like the mythology of this plant is that it's supposed to give you good luck. Nice. And it's kind of like a good luck charm. So you have a little flower. A little lucky flower that seems to be sticking around. It's kind of like a four-leaf clover, but flower.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, don't want to burst your bubble, but there isn't a fate card in the tarot. Major arcana.
Well, there is in this one.
All right.
This is the Prima tarot deck.
Yeah, I took a wild guess and figured that it probably didn't exist and that I didn't really care.
There's a will of fortune.
Yeah, we'll say it's fine. It's a fate card.
We just lost our three witch listeners. My goodness.
No, we'll come up with our own tarot and then we'll sell it. It's
Ooh,
fine.
Oh yes, bitch.
I like
it. We're just consummate capitalists. We're gonna monetize every square inch of this. No, I do not have time for that.
Every day.
None of us
Love
do.
No.
And actually, I want to retcon. I don't put it in the jar. I put it in my greenhouse on the roof. I want to plant it again.
Okay, yeah, like a clipping. You want to kind of yes. plant. Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Now that you know it's good luck, you're like, let's breed this bitch.
Yeah. I want all the luck. Give it.
Can I distill it into a thing for my family's business?
No. It's a luck potion? Oh, boy.
Yes.
And then you'll, head to bed, and we will move on to the next person, who okay. I think is Lucinda in this particular case.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
I'm ready.
What?
Question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell Ilya's name? I have Ilya. Is it how you spell it?
Ilya.
Ilya. All right. Very Russian.
Is that your character in Phantasy Star Online, too?
Shut up. No, I actually... I name almost all of my characters Ilya, so it's just...
Or Freya,
yeah, or Amelia, one of those.
You like the Iyas.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's why we get along.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah. Justin, I'm going to need you to change your name to Justinia.
I'm on it.
Okay, so we're moving to Lucinda. I imagine a lot of your day revolves around your apothecary.
Correct. Just stocking shelves, picking herbs, making. Mm-hmm.
Do you have like your own little garden or is it?
Yeah. Okay. It'll be in the back.
Okay.
Behind the building.
Gotcha. So like your own little greenhouse sort of setup.
Yeah. And anything rare, like I'll go.
Like a magical luck plant.
Yeah. I do a lot of exploring in the wilds to find rarer items.
Okay. I like the sound of that. So you also live above your apothecary. So you kind of walk down to your apothecary, which, by the way, it was wrecked when you guys came back after what? the Ricky Tikki fight because
they had that fight in here.
Yeah, because Kyoko and Enoch had a bit of a scuffle, and it was a pretty bad wreck. But while you guys were off dealing with the rug scenario, Enoch was cleaning. So when you guys came back, it was all pretty much put back together. And that's kind of what Enoch does, you know, hanging out in the apothecary. He just kind of like he's been watching you kind of maintain everything. And so he's learned like how to clean everything and how to like prune everything and kind of keep everything put together. And a lot of times if there's nothing to do, he'll just kind of like sweep the floor for like 2 hours straight because he just can't think of anything else to do, really.
So cute.
But yes. He's very like. He's very much just kind of upkeeping your apothecary for you and trying to help wherever you can, picking up heavy stuff and all that. And it seems like he's really interested in your plants, but he's not very good with them. Like he just doesn't have like the dexterity in his fingers to be like gentle with them. So he very first day probably tried to like, you know, like touch the plants like you do to like check on their leaves and see how they're doing. And then like immediately just ripped off a leaf. And ever since then has just like refused to touch the living plants and will only like touch the cuttings and stuff.
Oh,
so
that's cute. Does he have like sensory, like, can he feel them?
You think that he can in some fashion. He seems to be really well coordinated. And it seems like when he bumps something, he knows that he bumped into it. Or if he's touching something, you know, he knows that he's touching it, but you can't really tell like how much real like control he has over his body in general. Like he seems pretty well coordinated, but maybe not just like to a super fine degree. Like his fingers seem more utilitarian than anything. So like he's not super gentle. It's kind of more like clamping than anything. Yeah.
Well, so. Everything he has an interest in, I'll show him a book about it, and I'll spend time seeing if he can feel it, like helping him to touch the plants without destroying them.
Okay, yeah, so he's
Helen Keller.
Yeah. So he's slowly he's slowly learning. So he's like he's learned to like just kind of touch them with like an open palm instead of trying to grab them with his fingertips. So like that's where he's starting, is just like kind of petting it with like a full palm and then kind of going from there. I keep hitting my fucking mic and this is not gonna sound good.
That's gonna be fun to edit out.
Put your hands down, Aaron. I got it. You've been very visual with your hands today.
Well, I'm talking about robot hands.
I think that's fairly
it is. It is. So you're teaching Enoch and he's learning and he just seems very at home. But today when you're walking down to get to the apothecary, you also see someone else in your apothecary. You see Kyoko curled up on the countertop that has your till and everything. She's curled up like cuddling with that petrified shark that she has with the necklace, and she's just fully asleep on the counter of your apothecary. And Enoch's just kind of sweeping around and like keeps like kind of glancing over at her and then just keeps sweeping. Like he doesn't really know what to do about it or to do anything at all. So
wasn't there a couch in there?
Let her sleep for a while, but as the day goes on, I'll be like, okay, you have to go now, or wake up, you have to get off of my counter now.
Yeah, and she's kind of like, sorry, I got a little sleepy there. I wanted to kind of, I just wanted to hang around Enoch for a while, see if he remembered anything, and you know, maybe kind of punch him in the head a couple times just to try and get it going. So sorry.
Is that the best way to get someone to remember things, is by hitting them in the head?
In my experience, it works pretty well.
That seems counterproductive, but okay.
Yeah, and she walks over to Enoch and she just kind of like punk, 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 like knocks on his head, and he just kind of motions her like stop, like kind of tries to gently push her away, and she's like, you still nothing. Okay. And she just kind of sits and watches him sweep and doesn't really seem to like even remember that you're there at that point. She's like solely focused on Enoch, and she just kind of sits on the floor of your apothecary and keeps an eye on him.
Very creepy. I'll ask her, like, what exactly are you trying to get him to remember?
Sorry, you're still here.
Oh, excuse me, geez. Ma'am, in my business.
Yeah, you gotta...
Can I speak to you?
Yeah, you gotta, like, really got, you can't sneak up on people like that. It's, I mean, it's just rude.
Sneak up? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I apologize for sneaking up on you.
Just sorry, so what did you ask?
What exactly are you trying to get him to remember? Maybe I can help him.
Well, he's supposed to be trying to help me find someone, but he's got to find the other Sentinels first, which, I mean, we already know where some of them are, so I don't know why he's not going to get them. I don't know. It seems like he's just forgotten anything that he's supposed to be doing. All he does is just sit here and sweep. It's not productive.
Oh, that's helping me out quite a bit. Maybe he doesn't want to help you.
Yeah, most people don't really want to help me, but they end up helping me anyways.
Because you pound on their heads?
Well, that's a pretty rare case, but sometimes, yeah.
Oh, boy. I don't know how to help you. And I don't really know a lot about machines. So, I guess you can continue to watch him. If there's anything I can do to help you to hurry this process along, you let me know.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't turn down a coffee.
Sure. How about tea?
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work.
Okay. I will make you a tea.
Okay.
I don't interact with a lot of people, so it's very, very challenging for me.
No, it's okay. I kind of like it. She's not exactly the best with people either, obviously. So the two of you are a wonderful combination of awkward. Very special blend of awkward. Okay. So you make some tea and you deliver her some tea and leave Enoch to kind of mind the store for a little bit. You don't really get much business until like later in the evening for the most part. It's kind of the old ladies coming to get their like ointments and things like that. And, you know, shithead kids trying to get things that they think will get them high. Some of which will, but mostly no.
So,
No. So, you kind of leave things in Enoch's hands. You've taught him how to, like, operate the till and stuff. He can actually run the shop if he needs to. So he's just not good at, like, talking to people, obviously, because all he can say is his fucking names.
Right. Well, in that case, then, I don't know that I have any, like, books to study on how to speak to a robot or a sentinel or anything like that.
You don't have anything to teach you binary?
Yeah, but... I could do, like, some meditating and try to invade his mind, maybe, and see if I can...
Okay. I kind of like the sound of that.
Get anything out of him.
All right. We'll say that you kind of go into the garden where it's nice and peaceful to do that, and you kind of sit in, mm-hmm. in the middle of all your plants. You have, like, a little zen area in the middle there. I would imagine you probably do something similar to this on a pretty regular basis, just as far as like getting in touch with like mm-hmm. that inner power and witchiness and all that kind of jazz.
Right.
And sometimes just to look cool.
That's what I do, man.
I just, you know, sometimes just gotta get in touch with the universe. How do you
sell rocks to weirdos? You gotta look cool.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine like if you do tarot card readings, like this is where you do it, where it's all like, I've got the incense burning and we're sitting on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, yeah. You cross your legs, do the whole like meditation pose, do all that kind of stuff. Let's see. Roll me. Let's say your invasion is spirit, I would imagine. Soul? Yeah.
Yeah, soul.
Soul, spirit, whatever. You think I would get my own fucking attributes, right?
One and the same.
They basically mean the same thing. So, give me a D6 soul roll. Soul check.
Okay. Oh boy. Fuck. Well, I rolled a 10.
Oh. So probably not great.
Three.
Yeah.
Plus my power level is one. So, yeah.
Okay.
He's a robot. It's hard.
It is hard. It is hard. Yeah. So you sit and kind of get into your like Zen state. And right as you're starting to like expand your mind and start to like pick up his presence, you feel like a punk on your forehead. And Kyoko says, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you, what are
God
you doing?
Damn it."
I ran out of tea.
Oh, yeah. My eyes flash with electricity.
Oh, hey. I mean.
I'm obviously busy. Enoch can help you get more tea.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I'll go get him to do that then. Have fun napping or whatever. Peace. And she goes back inside. But you're like, you're wrecked at that point. Like, there's no focusing anymore.
Nope. Yeah. What a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong.
Well, I'll rest and, yeah. Try again later, I guess.
Okay. Great. Cool. So that will be, I guess we'll say that's your day for today. And you just unsuccessfully try to do something and are consistently hampered.
It's like I've spent years alone and now that I'm just surrounded by very strange creatures and people.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because if you think about it, you're the loner and yet in your building you have... a fox, a robot, and some strange lady with a shark. And also, technically, Nova has an apartment there. So, like, you went from zero to, like, everything. And your nest. Oh, yeah. And Bart's
and
nest.
And Bart's nest.
You went from solo to fucking crowded, like, in a day.
It's very... It's gonna take some getting used to.
Yeah. Okay, so...
No more walking around naked in my garden, I guess. But
well, I mean, you can still do that, but...
Yes, you're right.
I mean, Enoch doesn't care.
I think Sigfrin wouldn't mind. I mean...
It's better if it's Bart.
It's just like, here, like, the blinds.
Oh, God.
I... Make sure to invade his mind and make him go blind while I'm meditating. You fucking creep.
Oh, God. Okay, so... you spend your day trying to kind of get more in touch with Enoch and kind of dealing with Kyoko in some fashion or another, trying to get to the bottom of what the fuck she's even about. But she's being evasive as always.
Oh, I wanted to say that I put that fate card on my fridge.
Okay.
And I still have it. Yeah.
What kind of fridge magnets you got?
Oh, I mean, I figure she's... I'm just thinking travel, but she hasn't really traveled.
A rich kid who hasn't traveled? Whoa.
Yeah, but I mean, Prima wasn't that big. So, I mean, I guess she's gotten magnets from the different sectors that she's been in.
Yeah, fair point.
But, and I think she might have some from, like, I would imagine that there are magnets of like old superheroes and she keeps those as like kind of a kitschy kind of thing.
Okay.
And
so she's got stuff from like the Ultra Squad and maybe like a couple of the other bigger names like
the Challengers. Come on. Yeah. Hello. Yes.
And so she has
some
of those
flower magnets at the apothecary. You can check
them out. Oh, I like that. I would like to think that I would have taken one of those. Paid for it, of course.
Yeah, I was like, taken?
Just taking them, yeah.
I make no money. That's why I'm working with you guys. People just steal shit all the time.
But yeah, just like random stuff like that, you know.
Okay, cool.
But she puts it on her fridge.
All right, so then Bart and or Sigfrin. If I'm not mistaken, Sigfrin goes back to sleep when he goes to bed, right?
Yes. Okay. So Bart can't come back out until Sigfrin goes to sleep, I believe was the stipulation.
Yeah, so is Sigfrin fighting back to sleep and trying to like party through the night and stay awake?
Not today. I think he knows better than to piss the bird off too much. So I think he'll have had a long day and, you know, maybe try his luck with that girl meditating in the garden. But, you know, when it's clear that she's going to blind him, if he does anything, he'll just be like, whatever, go curl up on the couch.
And then, poof, bird.
Yeah. And then, so as Bart, I will who's the nearest member of my team to me?
Well, if you're staying at the apothecary, then that would be Lucinda and or Enoch.
All right.
Or Nova.
Yeah. On. Yeah.
I'll
possibly
fly over to Lucinda and just like flap my wings like frantically at you, land in front of you and just be like, what happened? Did he kill anyone?
What is happening?
Hi, who? It's me, Bart, your friend, the bird. I'm a bird, right? You're the yeah. The apothecary lady.
Right, okay. Man, this is going to take
light up a cigarette. Oh, God.
I light up an incense. to counter that.
Did he kill anyone?
Yeah.
God damn it.
But it's okay.
Is it?
Well, Kit got to eat because he killed someone. What? So.
And you see Kit just like rolling around the ground like, yeah, rubbing her belly.
Like the whole person?
Oh, it wasn't a person. It was a rat.
Oh, that's somehow worse.
Oh, no.
Like one of the smart ones?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to really answer that question.
A near rat?
Yes. What is? Well, we were in battle with this rat, so.
Oh.
That was kind of what we needed to do to get the rug again.
Okay, so he killed someone for a rug.
Yes.
Fly off. Caw, caw.
Oh my God.
I'm a little bothered that you don't know what he does, but okay, bye.
I think he is too. It's okay. Okay, so.
I'm feeling tremendous guilt for my fox eating this rat.
Yeah, you just went from like having your meditation interrupted to like Siegfried, like you hearing that, like, of the blinds, and then to suddenly like a moral quandary about whether or not you just committed some evil act. You've had a day.
It's a rough
yeah.
day.
So Bart, you fly off. Do you go back to your water tower, or are you going just kind of like walking it off, or what is Bart up to?
Probably just sit on top of my water tower and smoke some cigarettes, and then make sure I have my pocket dimension full of cigarettes so I can control Siegfried a little better.
Yeah, so... Okay, so do you have, like, a gargantuan stash of cigarettes in the water tower, or do you, like, actually have to go and buy these cigarettes? Because I really, like, logistically am very curious about this.
So, I mean, I just got $15,000 from all those adventures, right?
Yeah.
So I'm
you
take,
have lots of money, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take about $100 bill in my beak and fly to the nearest gas station or whatever, and kind of fly in and put the money down and see if the person behind the counter will let me into their brain to talk to them.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you fly in and land on the counter with this $100 bill, and there's just a lady behind the counter. It's just staring at you like you are a bird with a $100 bill in his beak.
Yes. I would like to buy as many cartons of cigarettes as this will get me, and that packet of sunflower seeds over there, please.
And she's like, looks around, like,
it's me, hi, the bird.
Oh, wow, you can talk?
Yeah, my name's Bart. What's your name, lady?
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. This nice to meet you.
Really,
look, I
weird.
How many cartons of cigarettes? I don't do math.
Oh, two? I don't know. Two cartons. Sure. Wait, can all of you talk?
Sure. If that'll, yeah, let's say we can.
Okay.
I am talking to you.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's really cool. Okay, yeah, here. That'll be, $87.99.
The sunflower seeds?
Oh, sorry, yeah, and she goes and grabs sunflower seeds, and she walks over and she goes, I mean, wouldn't you rather a hot dog or something?
Is hot dog made out of animals?
Yeah, it's like all the animals, basically.
Oh my God, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, all just right. Can you throw it on the ground out there for me, please?
Yeah. Okay, sure. And she takes your 100 and gives you back change. It was shiny change. Some of it's in dollar bills, but some of it is also coins. And she goes over
pocket dimension.
Yeah. And she goes over to like the little like food area and grabs a hot dog, and as you're like walking out with the cartons, the door opens and she just like chucks it through the door, and so it like rolls around outside and into the parking lot, and so it's like it's alive. She says, "Bye, Bard. It's really nice meeting you."
Nice to meet you too, Sarah. And I will fly over and just start acting like it's Karen and
Wrecking this hot dog. Okay, cool.
Delicious. Oh gross. My god. Just to think I was going to settle for sunflower seeds when such delicacies existed this whole time. Wayne was holding out on me.
Bart's first interaction with hot dogs. Like, I imagine it's funny because Bart's been around for like 20 something years and just has never occurred to him to eat a hot dog. So I find that funny. So you kind of restock and make a new friend. Does Bart kind of spend... What's up?
I like the idea of this lady, like, just randomly talking to birds now.
Yeah, like, hey. Like,
do you all talk?
Hey, I know.
Just trying to give them cigarettes. Yeah, like, do you want this? Do you want this?
It's always carrying a couple packs with like, me now.
Yeah. I know your secret. It's okay. You can trust me.
Like the creepy bird lady at the park. Like, yeah. Give the bird cigarettes.
I'm friends with Bart. Do you know Bart? So adorable. Okay. So does Bart spend most of his time hanging out at the water tower, or does he have stuff that he does, or is he mostly just kind of farting about just collecting coins and shiny stuff on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the compulsive kleptomancy is something fairly new for Bart. It came with the soul of Sigfrin.
Okay. So, which is funny because ravens are fucking kleptos.
So, yeah, no, they are. Yeah. I mean, so he always had a bit of a tendency, but like the actual like...
It's like, it's more to the fore now, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very much so. He probably spends a bit of his day stealing stuff. I don't know. His main goal and motivation is to like get Sigfrin out of him. So I don't know. I think he went back to... Prima, and I don't know if they could help him, I'm guessing, and so now he's in Freeport and he's managed to find a witch, so that's something.
A step in the right direction, I guess.
Yeah. So I don't know. I bet he spends a lot of his day just flying around smoking cigarettes.
Okay. So we'll say that you've been floating about and you go back to your water tower and kind of drop off your ill-gotten gains for the day. You found a really awesome set of shoelaces that have silver ends on the tips.
One second. I have to add this to my inventory.
I need to be careful what I say around you. Mm-hmm. And we'll say that you got like a stainless steel like chess piece or something like that, like a chromed pawn or something. I'll wait for you to write down your ill-gotten gains. So you're kind of dropping off the contents of your pocket dimension into your water tower, and at one point you look over and you hear a dripping sound, just like a little bloop, bloop. We'll
kind of hop over to investigate.
Yeah, and you realize that the sound is coming from that teacup that you got from you. And it seems like almost like there's a reflection of like liquid from inside of it on the wall of the water tower, but you don't remember ever filling it with anything.
I look inside and smell it.
Okay. Yeah, you look inside and it looks like it's some kind of tea or another. You can't really quite place it. You're not exactly a tea expert. It's not like Wayne drank a bunch of tea and you don't need to drink tea on a given day-to-day basis. So I would imagine you're probably not super familiar with it. All that to say, you look into it and it's kind of this cloudy tea, and as you're staring into it, you kind of like start to feel a little sleepy and a little, maybe just a little bit disjointed from yourself, and slowly but surely you kind of feel like maybe you're gonna just take a little nappy nap, and then the next thing you know, you are inside of this teacup but as not like a physical bird, but as kind of this astral form, which you're actually fairly familiar with, having been around Wayne a bunch and Siegfried. And you realize that you have somehow been mesmerized out of your own corporeal form. And you are basically using this teacup like some kind of portal. And you find yourself like slowly drifting into this like kind of misty gray landscape. And you hear a voice kind of in the distance, like it's echoing through this cloudy space. And you just hear a faint, "Hello? Is someone there?"
"Yes, hello."
"Hi. Who are... How did you get here?"
"You know, teacups."
"Oh, yes. That would do it."
"It who? Would?"
"Are you not familiar with teacup travel?"
"No. Hi, I'm Bart. Who are you?"
"Oh, hi. Yes. You can call me Elspeth."
"Elspeth. Okay. Hi, Elspeth. Why am I here?"
I don't know. Why are you here?
Where is here?"
"Yeah, this is like kind of like a mental construct, but it's tied to the astral plane. So it's kind of like a literal personal slice of heaven or hell, depending, I guess. But it's like a dimensional doorway that you can kind of glance through."
"Ah, useful, I guess. How do I leave?"
"Oh, it certainly can be. Yes, I think that you'll probably leave in your own time. Typically people who come here are looking for some kind of answer. I'm happy to help you find your way out. I think we'll probably just need to take a look around a little bit."
Sure, wait, answers about what?"
"Oh, all kinds of things. Usually dealing with some kind of inner turmoil or past lives or future lives or possibly the damnation of their souls or, you know, all kinds of things."
"My inner turmoil literally is a past life."
"Oh, that would really explain it. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I can, you know, at least help you figure out how to get out. And maybe you can figure it out from there."
"Sure.
Okay.
Cigarette? Oh, wait, where are my cigarettes?"
Not a physical body, so you don't... kind of hard to smoke cigarettes. I guess you could probably manifest a mental cigarette.
I concentrate.
And a cigarette appears in your mouth and it's lit already. And it's... I mean, it's an astral cigarette. Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, see, look... Oh, man, you picked this up fast. Okay. How about we, take a look around, see if we can find anything. Roll me a soul check.
D4s?
Yeah.
I rolled a 6 and my soul is Bart's, only a 3.
Okay. So you kind of go just flying about in this mist, and you can't quite really find anything. Like, everything around you is just like this mist. And you start to feel this kind of tug a little bit, and you hear Elspeth kind of in like whispering into your ear, kind of like as if she were next to you in some fashion. Like, she's not quite as far away. She says, I think maybe this way, maybe over here." And you start to kind of follow this tugging. It's not even like a physical experience. It's just like you are friends with pigeons, that like homing pigeons, and you know, like, they can just like track north from just like their own experience. Like, they feel where north is, and you this kind of is like what you've always imagined that would feel like, of like, "Oh, there's north, okay," and you just start following that. And she says, "Yeah, I think we're getting somewhere here. Okay, look, and you see before you kind of come through the mist a doorway. But not like a classic modern door. This looks very, very old, like timber, like rough-hewn timber. The door is just more of a slab. It doesn't have any kind of decoration to it. The doorknob is basically just a piece of rope that's like stuck through a hole so that you can pull it open. And it stands before you, and she says, I think this might be the way out, but probably not immediately out, unfortunately.
Well, in my experience, nothing's ever simple with magic.
No, it really never is, especially with souls. Very difficult.
All right, ta-ta.
It's nice meeting you, Bart.
Nice meeting you, voice.
Elspeth.
Elspeth voice.
Yes, well, hopefully I'll see you again. Bye.
Bye. And wing at her.
You get the distinct feeling that she's, you know, doing her own version of a wave.
Okay, I tug on the little rope on the door.
The door swings open slowly, kind of creaks open, and you are just kind of like sucked into this other like set of senses and experiences, and you're looking through the eyes of what you would imagine are human eyes. They are just absolute bullshit. They can't even see past a football field. The details are garbage. The contrast is absolute shit. And everything smells bad. It's terrible. So you find yourself in the brain space of some kind of human being, and you are standing before a stone altar, and you see a lamb that's just bleeding. Not bleeding, the D, bleating, like,
no, I...
Okay. Oh, okay. I was like, Aaron, what the fuck?
Sorry. So on the stone altar is this sheep that is alarmed, to say the least, and the, like, image that is your senses looks down, and in your hand is this obsidian dagger, just like, basically just like a piece of leather wrapped around the handle. And it's just this really insanely sharp, jagged, like awful looking dagger. And you look back to the sheep and you feel your arms raise above your head and you hear a voice that sounds kind of vaguely familiar from the back of your mind, speaking in some language that you've never heard before. And you see this knife plunge down into this lamb. And you hear the bum, just silenced. The silence of the lambs.
No, you didn't.
But after.
And, oh my god!
God damn it, Aaron.
Shut up.
You're just so heavy.
You made Rima. Fuck off. And
now it is a bleeding lamb.
Now it is a bleeding lamb. Yes. No longer.
I feel like that needs to be
a lamb that's no longer bleeding, but bleeding lamb. So you feel this plunge into this lamb, and you feel its life just extinguish. And the next thing you know, you hear kind of these heavy, impossibly heavy footfalls behind you in this kind of like rocky loam. And the next thing you feel is an impossibly large hand wrap around your shoulder and tug a little bit, and like, you know that the body that you are kind of experiencing everything in didn't actually move when that happened, but you as Bart are just sucked out of this experience and rocketed back into your physical body so hard that your actual bird body goes like shooting across the room and like falls into a pile of pennies, and you are back in your corporeal form.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah. Great.
You say that out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Love it.
And, yeah, the key to the, wow, the teacup. Woo. Oh. Yeah, the teacup is... I don't know. My brain, I guess, was going for keytar. I guess I'm really wanting to play some music on my chest. Yeah. So
I should steal a keytar, I think to myself.
Yeah. That'd be good.
For some reason.
Yeah. So you realize that the teacup is no longer shimmering. You don't hear that dripping noise anymore. And when you go to investigate it, it is now empty.
I think I might put that in my pocket dimension.
Okay.
I don't want to leave that just laying around.
Yeah, and you recall you weird saying that he got that from the Queen of New Ixis, which you still don't really believe. That's kind of an absurd thing to say. But it's certainly not a normal teacup, you are now realizing. Hmm. All right. And I think we'll move on to Nova at this point. What does Nova do with her time when she's not carrying rugs for people? I don't know. Carrying rugs away from thugs.
Oh, like it.
Ooh, yay. Nova would have a very specific workout routine,
okay.
I believe. So she'd wake up early, do her workout routine, probably come say hello to Lucy in the apothecary.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask, you know, like ask if she needs help moving heavy things around. And then I think she would be a candy cane at the hospital.
Okay. So,
so
like delivering
a candy stripe?
Candy striper.
Candy stripe? Sorry,
candy,
candy,
candy
stripe at the hospital.
So let me, just so that I'm.
Did you say candy cane? Though?
Yeah, she did.
I did
she
say
did.
Candy cane.
She literally just stands there with her arms that's like kind of curled like a candy cane.
Wait, I'm ignorant about this. What is a candy striper?
I was gonna.
It's a volunteer.
Yeah, I was gonna make sure that
it's
I was on
hospital.
That. So kind of delivering,
and then, like, take things to. Room.
Yeah, delivering medicine and kind of just checking up on people, right?
Yeah, and I kind of figured because she's muscular and strong, like she'd probably be like taking a patient from a chair to a bed.
Yeah, or, kind of,
you know, that kind of stuff.
Helping roll people over for bandages and carrying people if they need it. Okay.
Bathing them, whatever, you know. Candy
wheelchairs don't exist. She just carries patients from room to room.
yeah, for sure. You are at the hospital. Lucinda didn't really have much for you to do. Enoch kind of is able to help with some of that stuff, but
I have a robot employee.
Yeah.
Who never sleeps.
She maybe had you move like a pot or two or something like that, but for the most part it's just kind of like, no, it's okay. And so you just kind of went to go hang out at the hospital and help where you can. Seda kind of gave you a general like set of chores, I guess, to do around the hospital. She sent you to go work with some of the comatose patients as far as, like, you know, turning them over so that they're not getting bed sores and things like that. And then sent you to go like spend some time with the sick kids to just kind of play with them because you have a lot more energy than a lot of other people because you're in really excellent shape. Mm. And then she also has you like go work with some of the elderly folks, like doing a little bit of like physical therapy a little bit for like some of the older folks who have like broken bones or whatever. And they're trying to kind of get back on their feet. A lot of the chores that she gives you are very much centered around getting people like back healthy and kind of being an active part of people's lives so that, you know, they can like be on their feet and kind of moving around because you're a very physical person and maybe not necessarily the brightest. So, but not in a bad way. You're very good with understanding how to rehabilitate people physically. So she relies on that particular talent of yours. So you've been kind of helping kids and adults alike who just kind of need to get back on their feet. Do you have any like other friends in the hospital? Like, Cassetta's not really like a friend. Like, she's kind of like a work associate where you guys are like church pals where you know each other from church, but you know, you also are both interested in like helping people, so she makes sure that you have stuff that you can do. But it's not like you guys go and get drinks after work or something. But
yeah, I don't know. I think for the most part, Nova would. I mean, I guess kind of not simple-minded, but just kind of focused. And like, so she would be cordial to everyone, but unless somebody like actually came up to her to try to be a friend, I don't know if she would go out of her way.
Gotcha. Not as like kind of withdrawn in a sense, but not like actively.
Mm, yeah. Like perfectly friendly to people, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So, yeah, you go about your day. The kids love it. Elderly people are all, like, high-fiving you because they're all happy old people. I don't know. Is that a thing, even?
Sure.
don't know.
It's your world, Aaron.
Yeah.
Are the old people in Prima happy?
Some of them. Not all of them. Just like in real life. So the ones that are getting better are happy. So you're kind of going about your business, and you get a message on your phone from, not necessarily from Jocelyn. It's like you know how we have like G calendar and all that kind of stuff that sends notifications of like, hey, like you have a meeting, or like, hey, you've been invited to the thing. It's kind of like that, but for the church, where you have like basically been invited to the cloister, which is a connected space between mostly the hospitals that are kind of scattered around Prima, but a couple of other quote unquote holy sites as well. But basically it's the inner sanctum of like Jocelyn's like personal space, essentially. It's a location that no one actually knows where it is in the physical world, but there are certain portals to get to it that you as a player would probably suspect.
Green hair.
Yeah, exactly. You suspect Green Hair probably has set these things up for her. And there is one in this hospital, because she has all of her hospitals connected to each other. So you get like a ping on your phone of you've been invited to the cloister.
Ooh, Nova gets excited and like cleans up and prepares herself, knowing that this is going to be the perfect opportunity to ask about ninja cats.
I forgot.
Oh, <No. laughs> man, that is so adorable.
And she's also like wanting to make sure that she's got her best foot forward just in case she gets to see Jocelyn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so you get this invitation. You kind of get and clean everything up and head over. And Seta like sees you walk by her office towards like where the gateway to the cloister is, and like as you're walking by, you just catch out of the corner of her eye a little bit like, huh, like she's going, I know where she's going. That's odd.
Salutations as I walk past.
And you just hear distantly, salutations. Bye. And you head to this gateway, which it looks like it's like a normal door. Like all of these doors that lead to the cloister, you've been to a couple of them throughout, both here in Freeport and one in Prima. I think you've probably spent some time over there. They always just look like a normal door. Like through the window, it looks like there's just like a break room or something on the inside. But when you open it and pass through it, it leads you somewhere totally different. And so it leads you into what you know, like as Kia, as the basically either an exact copy or some simulacrum of the room where she originally wrote her Bible, that Dakota had built this like cathedral, like this fake cathedral in her house, basically, with like pews and this like fake stained glass window with like LEDs behind it to make it look like it was this like kind of cool church setup. You don't know if this is actually like, because you know the story of her going to train with Dakota, and you know that like this is what that place looked like, because Sketchbook literally has drawings of it in her Bible. But you don't know if this is actually the physical place where she originally sat down and like wrote the Bible, or if this is just some like copy of it that she just feels comfortable in. But you see Jocelyn sitting cross-legged on just kind of like the raised area. It's not like on the dais or dais. We did this before. The dais, yes.
Dais.
She's sitting cross-legged on the dais and has the light in front of her. She's facing the stained glass windows, and her shadow is like stretched out way behind her. And as you enter and close the door behind you, that shadow kind of compresses and lifts and becomes kind of this two-dimensional but you know, standing humanoid shape. And you hear the voice of Shadow, Jocelyn's bunkmate, I guess you could say.
the way to say it, yeah.
Yeah, the for the people who maybe didn't listen to season one, Jocelyn has a shadow, like symbiote entity, yeah, that lives inside of her, and kind of acts as her conscience now because she lost her ability to feel fear. So, but you see, Shadow raise out of this extended shadow. I should have come up with a better name. And
oh no,
you hear his voice speak to you in that like weird crazy voice that he has, which everyone knew we'll just hear right now. Meh. Anyways, and he says,
"Hello, child. Thank you for coming.
Salutations.
Salutations. Excuse me, I forgot my manners.
No, that's okay.
I regret to inform you that Jocelyn is in a meeting with Gaia currently. She will not be joining us today. There is a great deal of discussion to be had at the moment.
Oh, well, it's always good to see her and you, of course.
Yes, it is lovely to see you. Are you well? Are you healthy? Are you eating?
Yes, I'm doing okay. I have an apartment now, and I think I've made some friends. I mean, I consider them friends, but I have come across some interesting situations that I was hoping that maybe I should, well, I definitely should tell you, but maybe you could provide some insight on as well.
Of course, I'm always happy to be of assistance.
And he, like, stretches out his shadowy form and grabs two of the pews and just, like, drags them so that they're basically, like, two chairs sitting across from each other so that you guys can, like, sit and have a conversation, which, of course, is absurd because these things probably weigh, like, 300 fucking pounds. But, like, he's just, it just effortlessly just drags them together and sits in one and motions for you to sit in the other one. And, like, you see his, like, when he sits, like, he just is kind of like an extension of Jocelyn's shadow. So when he sits, it's like you just see this, like, almost like a glitch in a video game where the shadow just kind of like goes across the ground and then just like shoots up in this weird angle and then like fills in this seat and just looks like almost like a cardboard cutout sitting up after that. So it's just, it's kind of weird, but, like, you know, he's making an attempt to look kind of human. Mm. So, but he says,
"What is it that is so concerning?"
Well, there's a few things. The first I'll say is that I have met with Bartholomew.
Oh, boy.
And he does act very strange, but it's obviously been a long time since I've seen him anyway, but it seems odd that he's not with Wyah, but...
Yes, they had a falling out over a very unfortunate circumstance.
Well, that's unfortunate to hear.
Yes, I think it is not my place to discuss it. It's best possibly to speak with Bart about it.
I'm sure he probably doesn't remember me from our short meetings, but I will talk to him. The other is, have you ever heard of ninja cats?
I've never seen them, but I have... cats. They're... are creatures from one of the worlds beyond the gate that look very similar to the felines of Prynla. They are not actually cats, but they do bear a very stark resemblance to them, and they do tend to dress in a ninja-like manner, if I'm getting this naming correct. But they are not, in fact, felines.
Hmm. I mean, obviously, they moved differently. Have you and Jocelyn, by chance, had much interaction with the Sentinels?
Oh, a little bit, yes. Jocelyn once tried to ferry the remaining Sentinels from their planet back to Prynla to assist them in preserving their race, but they were very firm in their desire to stay where they were, but they did accept a set of cattle to breed and use as sustenance for the foreseeable future. So we have some experience with them, yes.
I've come across one who's an interesting fellow. He does not speak quite like the other sentinels do, but he came out of a rug, and which is definitely odd. But the other item that I feel I should bring up is the rug itself. And I don't know how the two may be tied, besides the fact that Enoch obviously came out of said rug. But we had to deliver said rug to these people in this unbelievably gaudy, interesting house. And they wanted the rug, and their theory was it could open a portal to a different location where they would throw trash into. And they specifically mentioned that Gaia and Jocelyn were against us.
You must be speaking of the Scarlet Mobster. He's always seeking ways around our littering laws. Most disgusting.
I was not pleased to have delivered the rug to him, but fortunately, or maybe not so fortunately, those cat-like creatures stole the rug from this unfortunate person. Most and then I got electrocuted, but that's a whole nother
thing. Are you well? Are you okay?
Yes. You know me, I'm quite sturdy.
That's very good to hear. This is most intriguing. That is somewhat connected to the very meeting that Jocelyn is having currently. There is something wrong with the gate. It is still functioning, but there is something else happening with it as well. And we're not entirely sure what it is or what it means for Prima as a whole.
I'm
very intriguing.
I'm assuming Jocelyn has spoken with Astrana?
She has. They are unaware of any movement on any of the other sides of the gate. It seems that whatever is happening everywhere.
Interesting.
Very. This rug you speak of, you say that they wish to use it as a tool to affect the gate in some way.
They said that the rug, the theory is that the rug emits some sort of signal, and that signal could be what is used to open up this portal. But I will note that Mr. You Are Weird, who came out of nowhere and kind of took the rug from us, and that's kind of a convoluted story, but he is the one who said that the rug was emitting this signal and pulled Enoch out of the rug. So part of me wonders if Enoch himself is the one who is emitting said signal. Oh, I should mention, there's a weird lady. Her name starts with a K, but she has a dehydrated shark that she uses as a weapon. I'm not 100% sure I understand how she's involved. I was a little distracted.
I believe I know the one you speak. Kyoko, I believe.
I believe that is right.
Yes, we don't know much about her, but she is very adamant about her goals, and we are somewhat concerned about the ways in which she will strive to reach them.
Well, she's been hanging around my apartment.
That is concerning, yes.
Well, I mean, that's where Enoch is, to be fair, is at the apothecary of my friend, which is underneath my apartment, so.
Interesting. We will have to see what else we can find on her. If she is involved with this signal that is affecting the gate, then she is possibly of more interest than we initially thought. So, I think it would be wise for you to keep an eye on her and Enoch for the foreseeable future.
Sure. Enoch has proven to be very kind in my interactions with him, so...
That is good.
I will let you know. I will give you the address to the apothecary so that you and Jocelyn know, I suppose, and then feel free to always swing by.
Perhaps I will take you up on that offer. Thank you very much for informing me of this. It is an interesting development in our conversations with Gaia. Mm-hmm. I think it wise that I deliver this news to Jocelyn while she has this meeting. If you don't mind, I would like to do so.
Sure, would you like me to stay and provide watch?
It will be... All right, you can exit through there and we will lock all doors so that we are safe.
okay. Nobody's not comfortable leaving them just solo, but she will do what she's told.
Yeah. So yeah, as you like stand to start leaving, Shadow stands to you and he puts his like shadowy hands around your shoulders, like as if he was like holding your shoulders to like kind of that weird like older guy thing where like they're gonna about to give you a hug, so they like grab your shoulders and they're gonna be like serious about it, but then yep. He like for like just a second you think he's gonna hug you and then he just like lets go and says,
until next time, Nova.
Same to you, Shadow. Tell Jocelyn I say hello, please.
I will most assuredly do so. Take care.
And I will leave.
Okay.
I still don't fucking trust Shadow.
Right?
It's so long. I can't blame you. He's a shadow.
Aaron could straight up be like, yeah. No, he's fine.
He could straight up like...
He is not a bad guy.
He could
guy.
Give you a back massage and then a puppy, and you still wouldn't trust him.
Dude, maybe he's the bad guy of this campaign. We don't know.
Right? Exactly.
Who knows?
Shadow could be running the long con. You know.
Okay,
know.
And as a side note, when you said I was walking into the inner sanctum, I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to do a Jocelyn voice today.
I considered it. We're going to have to figure out how to do that at some point, but yeah. Not today.
Yeah. No.
Shadow will do a
so
fair
well
amount
done.
Of talking. Yeah.
Well done. That was good.
Well, fortunately, we built that into it fucking like a year ago. So, like, yay. Okay. So anyways, yeah. So you head out of the cloister, and when the door closes behind you, you hear a very subtle click sound, and you know that if you were to open the door now, it would actually lead to a break room. So it's very Hogwarts-esque, where like magic kind of exists in like everyday sort of things with Jocelyn. She doesn't want it to be obvious. So yeah, you have gained a little bit of information, and you are free to kind of go about the rest of your day.
I'll go back to immediately to the apothecary.
Okay, cool. Where I believe Lucinda probably is hanging out at that point, and Bart, I would assume.
Yes. I mean, Ka.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you for being... Why am I being so awkward?
That's so Nova, though. Salutations.
It's like, why did I got so nervous, like, and talking to Lucinda.
That's kind of adorable.
Sitting there, like, drinking tea.
What? Kyoko sitting there drinking tea, like, sup?
Sweating. I know this has probably been a change, but I do enjoy your company.
Of course you do. I'm awesome. I'm a bird. Why wouldn't you enjoy my company?
You, Bart.
Yes.
I'm assuming you don't really recall me, then.
Another two-legged creature. Kind of all look the same to me.
I mean, the last time I saw you, you were with Wyo.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wait, you know me? Do I know she knows me?
That's up to you. I don't think you probably...
I guess you do.
You probably
now.
Wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't remember you.
You've seen you've seen a lot of humans, a lot of proteans, and a lot of other two-legged creatures, yeah. You are alive a lot longer than the normal raven brain is particularly equipped for.
Yes.
I don't remember the other you from back then. Sigfrind? The weird winky one?
Weird winky one.
He winks a lot.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't mind. It doesn't bother me any, but I don't recall ever hearing any stories about that one, so it just seemed odd.
Yeah, he's something new in my life. No?
It's not every day you see such a transformation.
Not if I can help it. Yeah, it isn't.
You know, I've only ever encountered one other person who had a soul living within their body.
I don't think humans have souls either. It's fascinating.
I was talking about like Jocelyn.
Oh, Rocket the Bird.
Have you ever thought to go talk to her about whatever it is you've got going on?
Yeah, I don't know. She was all busy with the religion and stuff.
You two aren't friends. I thought you would be.
She never approved of my smoking.
I guess she was kind of afraid of birds for a while.
Yeah, I got a vibe from her, not gonna lie.
Well, you know that whole fear thing, it's not gonna bother her now, so
maybe I'll pay her a visit sometime. Mm. Cigarette?
No. I talked to Shadow regarding the situation at hand, and I think we should keep a close eye on Enoch. Just in case. Hello, Enoch.
And he comes and gives you a hug.
Oh, I hug him back. Aww. Thanks for the tea, Lucinda.
You're welcome. And I just kind of touch her on the shoulder.
You guys are all so fucking awkward. Oh my god.
It really is.
Oh my god.
This is awkward.
Why did we all make antisocial fucking characters?
I'm not antisocial, I just...
No, Bart's great.
Neither is Lucinda. She greets everybody she
comes. Veronica's not, she's just not there.
Do you want to go get some hot dogs?
Ooh, what are hot dogs?
They're amazing.
Well,
you eat them off the ground.
Sure. What? I don't know if I want to eat them off the ground.
No, it's great. You gotta trust me. Yeah, that's where you normally eat dead things, on the ground.
You just found a thing on the ground and decided to eat. I mean, I know what hot dogs are.
No, I met this amazing human, probably one of my third favorite human I've ever met. Her name's Sarah, and you can just give her money, and she gives you hot dogs. It's incredible.
Well,
come here, I'll show you.
Okay.
Yeah, and you guys go to have a hot dog party with Sarah, and I think that's where we're gonna end it.
That's probably for the best, Aaron, because I'm totally gonna eat a hot dog off the ground.
Gross.
I don't know how else to end this at that point. Like, no, hot dog party sounds good. So yeah.
Bye.
Oh no!
Oh
fuck! This was interesting.
Hey, folks! Before we get to the bloopers, just want to do a little housekeeping. Feel free to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We love to hear from our fans and love to have little chats. And also head to our website. There you can buy the Infinite Ultra gamebook and all other things Infinite Ultra that don't quite exist yet. And we also have a Patreon if you'd like to support the show. Also, as per usual, leave a rating and a review. They really do help a lot. And now, on to the bloopers. What am I thinking?
Intercom.
Yes, an intercom. I'm trying to think. The volcanic rock, the black stuff.
Obsidian?
Magma?
Yes, obsidian. Sorry. Sorry, gotta maybe sneeze? No? Oh.
I was like, what's happening?
I thought it was gonna be a burp that was coming.
Yeah.
There she is.
That took a second.
Wayne in me is just waiting for an opportunity to make a joke about a cloister bar.
Oh, God. I don't know what the technical definition of cloister is. I just think of Final Fantasy X.